Hey y'all, this is Sam, and this is Crimeology. This is episode 143. We're doing this episode again without Steven. The next couple of episodes are going to be without Steven just purely because of scheduling issues. We both go through these spurts where either I'm really busy and he's got nothing going on, or he's really busy and I have nothing going on. Well, this is a time where I'm really busy, and so this sounds so ridiculous, but I just don't have time to go to Steven's house and record every week. And so it's just easier for me to record by myself. So that's why he's away. But hopefully we can get back together again and do a mass recording of episodes, so that way we can be together again. But anyways, episode 143, right before this I looked, and I think we have only like 6 or 7 episodes left in this season. And typically what we do is we do 2 to 3 weeks in between each season. And what that does for me is it helps me write episodes, and that just gives me 2 weeks to basically get my inventory filled. However, because season 5 and season 6 are going to be the same type of episodes, we're doing the same genre or the same theme for both seasons, because we're going to be finishing the states that we didn't finish this season. I don't think we're going to take that 2 week break in between, so that really doesn't mean anything for you. It's just purely for me and Steven, and it makes it easier to organize stuff if we do it by seasons and stuff. So anyways, just tidbit of information. But yeah, let's get into this week's episode. Before, make sure to do all of the things. We have Instagram and Facebook that are both at Crimeology Pod. We post 3 times a week, so that first, you know, those first 2 are just pictures of the crimes, and then that 3rd week is when we post our source material. So if you're ever wanting to know which websites I use to write episodes, that's where it is. If I ever refer to pictures or like websites that you could go to look at pictures, some we talk about letters that or manifestos that these criminals have written, I'll post them there anyway. So you guys can all go find those on both Instagram and Facebook. We have an email that is crimeologypod@gmail.com that you can send comments, questions, concerns, all of that good stuff over there. Let us know how we're doing. If we've had people email us about tech issues and being like, hey, your audio sounds like crap, that's helpful. Or we've had people send in different recommendations. We've even had people who have said, I'm from this state, you haven't done my state yet, do this case. And so anyways, all of those great things you can send over to our email. So yeah, let's get into this week's episode. This is episode 143, The Clutter Family Murders. So this week's state is Kansas. Since I don't have Steven here to give or to really make fun of me, we're just going to give you some fun facts, because I'm a fan of fun facts. So the American buffalo is Kansas state animal. The sunflower is their state flower, which is also known. So Kansas is also known as the sunflower state. Their state insect is the honeybee, and their state song is Home on the Range. So the more you know. Anyways, so we're starting our case on November 15th, 1959. The Clutter family was murdered in their home. Herb Clutter and his wife Bonnie, along with their youngest children, 15-year-old Canyon and 16-year-old Nacy. But let's back up a little bit. Our story starts in jail. Richard Hickok and Perry Smith are both in prison together. Now, while in prison, they started having relationships with different people. One man in particular says that he used to work for this very wealthy family, and he tells Richard and Perry about all of the money this man had and how the family had this huge safe in the house that held all of this money. So Richard and Perry are basically looking at each other being like, all right, when we get out of here, we know exactly what we're doing. So when both Richard and Perry are finally both out of prison, they immediately start planning how they're going to steal all of this money from the family. Which brings us to November 15th. Richard and Perry drive almost 400 miles across state in order for them to start their plan. In the early hours of the morning, Richard and Perry break into the family's home while four of the six family members are inside. Their family had two older daughters. It was Eve Anna and Beverly, who had both already moved out and had started their adult lives. So that's why they weren't living in the house at the time, and that's why they weren't there. After the pair searches the home while the family is asleep, they're looking for the safe. They're trying to really just have this be a stealth case, sneak in, steal all the money, and leave. But they're looking through the house, trying to be quiet, trying to find the safe, but they don't find anything. Not just a safe, but they don't find a whole lot of valuables in the house to begin with. So now they're becoming frustrated, they're getting annoyed. So this is when they make the decision to wake Herb and his family up. They bind and gag them all so that they can search the house now without worrying about waking them up, them escaping or whatever. So now they are just ransacking this house, not worried about waking anybody up, like tearing this house apart, trying to find this safe. And then they're also turning to the family to get them to tell them where the safe is. Herb gives them a little bit of cash that he has on him, but tells the pair that that's all he has. There is no safe, there is no money here, that's all we have. After their second search of the home, after the family is awake, all Richard and Perry have from their search is the cash that Herb gave them, a pair of binoculars, and a transfer radio. So Richard and Perry then kill the family before leaving with what they had found. When police show up at the Clutter family home, they find Herb's body in the basement. He had been stabbed and his throat was slashed. His arms were bound together and his mouth was taped shut. In an adjoining room, they found the body of Kenyon. He was bound, gagged, and shot in the head. And both Bonnie and Nacy's bodies were found upstairs. Bonnie was bound and gagged with a gunshot wound to the head, and Nancy was found bound with a gunshot wound to the head. So an investigation obviously is immediately started, with police getting help from the Kansas Bureau of Investigation and other state and national officials. Officials are looking through the crime scene, trying to get any kind of evidence they can, but they aren't finding literally anything to work with. So they're trying to get anything to kind of point them in the direction of the killer, but there is nothing left behind. That is until photos that were taken of the crime scene are developed, where you can see bloody footprints left behind. Now, that's not much, but it's a start for them to find their killer. And so what's unique about this is that they say the footprints weren't, like, you couldn't see them with a human eye, but for some reason on the camera, you were able to see them. And so it was this cool, like, hidden in plain sight kind of situation. So they're thinking, like, there's, like, we don't have literally anything here, but you have a boot print and there were tire tracks leaving the home. And that's essentially all we have. So you're, like, looking for this boot that you have no idea who belongs to, and this car you have no idea who belongs to. So this is kind of basically the only information that they have to work with. So now, while the investigation is underway, we're going back to Richard and Perry, who they are just out traveling the country. After the murders, they stay in Kansas City for a while, and they're getting money because Richard is cashing bad checks. So that's pretty much how they're getting their money. After Kansas City, they go to Mexico, which was the plan for them all along, to go in, get all of this money, and then just run off to Mexico. So they do end up in Mexico. And then after staying in Mexico for a little bit, they hitchhike their way to Omaha, Nebraska. And then after staying there, they steal a car in Iowa and then drive back to Kansas City. They then stay in Kansas City for a bit longer, and then they continue to drive to Florida, stay there, and then they end up in Nevada, where they are eventually captured on December 31st, 1959. So, while Richard and Perry are traveling around the world, here, there, and everywhere, The investigation is obviously still going on, and officials start interviewing inmates from the prison that the pair were in before the murders. Now they're thinking, someone in here has to have information about this case because of the fact that the murders happened so soon after the two were released from prison. So they know that this case, or at least Richard and Perry, were talking about starting this case while they were still in prison. So when you think about it, you're like, they have to have been given information while they were in prison, or somebody was also maybe a part of this while they were in prison and maybe didn't get released at the same time that the other two did. But they're pretty sure that somebody in this prison has some kind of information that will lead us in the right direction. So then officials interview the same friend that ended up telling Richard and Perry the information on the safe. And officials are offering anything that they can to get any type of information. So they're just throwing out like commissary money. They're throwing out like, hey, you know, we could get you into a better room. Like, we could get you into a better prison. I don't know if they, you know, I don't know if you can necessarily kind of offer limited time or like a lesser sentence. I don't know. Anyways, but they're like throwing anything at this guy to like get any kind of information from him. And so this guy, the same guy who told Richard and Perry about the family and about the safe and about all of this money, he also ends up being the same man that tells police what he told Richard and Perry, and he names Richard and Perry by name. So this man would end up being killed in prison for giving Richard and Perry's names to police. But it's wild, and I don't want to say funny, but funny that this guy started this crime, but then also is like, and I guess that's, you know, prison life, is you're doing anything to kind of help yourself out. But it's wild that he was the one that started this crime, but then also the one that basically kind of ended this crime by giving Perry and Richard's name to police. Anyways, sidetrack. So when Richard and Perry are arrested, they still had the stolen car from Iowa, along with the boot that matched the bloody footprint from the crime scene. And so after interrogations in Nevada, the men admitted to their crimes, and then they were flown back to Kansas for trial. And then on March 29th, 1960, a jury of all men found each man guilty and recommended the death penalty. And then on April 14th, 1965, after 5 years on death row, Richard and Perry were both executed by hanging at the prison. Richard passed at 12:41 a.m. and Perry passed at 1:19 a.m. Perry's last words were, "I think it is a hell of a thing that a life has to be taken in this manner. I say this especially because there's a great deal I could have offered to society. I certainly think capital punishment is legally and morally wrong. Any apology for what I have done would be meaningless at this time. I don't have any animosities towards anyone involved in this matter. I think that is it." All, end quote. Richard's last words were, "No, I guess I don't," end quote. But then he motioned for KBI agent Church to come towards him, and agent Church played a major role in the arrest of the two men. And Richard said to Agent Church, "You're sending me to a better place than this," and then shook his hand and said goodbye. And then the two men's last meals were spiced shrimp, French fries, garlic bread, ice cream, and strawberries with whipped cream. This is like, I love reading people's last words and their last meals, because it also, it makes you think of what your last words and what your last meals are. And I know Stephen and I have talked about what our last meals are. I loved the idea of having French fries, ice cream, and strawberries with whipped cream. Throw in some Texas Roadhouse rolls and some kind of like chicken tender. Maybe switch the shrimp out for some, I don't know, what's the best chicken? Maybe I would be fine with just some Chick-fil-A chicken, you know? Anyways, that'd be a great last meal. So yeah, there's episode 143. Think about what your, I don't know what my last words would be. I don't know if I'd say anything. I'm not cool enough to have any cool last words that could be like the last things to remember me by. So I probably wouldn't say anything, but think about what your last words were, would be, and what your last meal would be. I love asking people questions like this because I think it's so fun, and I think you get like a different insight into people's minds. So I love asking people like random questions. So this is so not about this case, but it's just something funny because I just asked my friends about it the other day. If on one hand, each finger dispersed a type of drink, what 5 drinks are you picking? Just something for you to think about. Literally nothing about this case. But anyways, that's just where my mind's at right now. And so I've been asking everybody that today. Anyways, episode 143. Like always, make sure to do all of the things. Instagram, Facebook, 5 stars, share, like, subscribe, do all of those good things. I think 7 episodes left in this season, and then we will continue on with each state. And just thank you guys for watching. Like always, this is Sam, and this is Cramology.